Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. We have a nativity this morning led by the Jam Club, but first the intimations. In fact, it's easier if I just come up here. Have radio mic, we'll travel. Fire alarm, in the event of an emergency, nothing planned today, but we would be leaving through the two fire doors and straight out and up to the school car park to meet together. Tea and coffee is served in here after the service. Tonight, 7 o'clock, Sunday night of the manse, exploring scripture, seeking God's presence, sharing fellowship. And on Tuesday, Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock at our dear church, a Christingle service. And to hear more about that, you just need to come. And then 11:15 in the hall here on Christmas Eve, watch night service, taking us into Christmas Day, and 10:30 at our dear on Christmas Day, and 10:30 at our dear on the 29th, Sunday 29th, so next Sunday is a shared worship down at our dear. And a reminder that after that, the 5th of January, the new year, we swap times, so service will be here at 10 o'clock and at our dear at 11:30. And just because this is a kind of last service here this year, a reminder of the Joint Kirk Session meeting on the 8th of January. It will be intimated the next two services, but just as people will be moving about. So 7 o'clock, 8th of January, the Joint Kirk Session meeting. Let's just join together in prayer. Let's pray. God of love, you don't give up. Through your angel messenger sent to Joseph, you encouraged his compassion. Don't give up on her. Enduring God, persevering with people, we praise your dependable faithfulness. God of love, you extend broadly and widely. Your word comes among the humankind born of a woman wearing human flesh. Down to earth, God, we praise you for being with us. God of love, you do not seek to gain or attain for self, but instead offer one who comes from you to save humankind from sin. God of endless generosity, we praise you for the gift of Christ. God of love, you rejoice in truth and bring to fullness the word spoken in faith through the generations in the birth of a Son, God with us. You embody the truth that sets all people free. God of holy truth, we praise you for your living word. Amen. Okay, it works.
Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of love.
Jesus shows us God's perfect love. He is God's perfect love in human form. Those who believe in him and live in him, live in love. Love transforms and perfects all things. It never ends.
We light this candle today to remind us that God is love. We thank God for hope he gives us, for the peace he bestows, for the joy he pours into our hearts, and for the love that redeems us and shows us the way.
Let us pray. O God of love, Emmanuel, and send your light into our hearts and at this time. Help us to be ready for the time of Christ appearing. Grant that we may dwell in him, that his perfect love fills our entire being. Make our worship a time in which we celebrate your love and are made ready to show that love to the whole world, both today and forevermore. Amen. Loving Father, let us pray, sorry. Loving Father, help us remember the birth of Jesus, that we may share in the song of the angels, the gladness of the shepherds, and worship of the wise men. Close the door of hate and open the door of love all over the world. Let kindness come with every gift and good desires with every greeting. Deliver us from evil by the blessing which Christ brings and teaches us to be merry with clear hearts. May the Christmas morning make us happy to be thy children, and Christmas evening bring us to our beds with grateful thoughts, forgiving and forgiven. And now the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, and forgive us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So this is our countdown to Christmas Nativity.
God spoke the word, and time began. He made the world, and then made man.
Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created him.
1 o'clock.
But early in the course of time, people ruined God's design.
Genesis 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it.
2 o'clock.
So God chose faithful Abraham to start his great son.
Genesis 18, verses 17 and 18. Then God said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him."
3 o'clock.
God vowed to bless Abraham's family line and gave them Canaan as a sign.
Genesis 35, verses 11 and 12. And God said to Jacob, "The land I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you."
4 o'clock.
Before this promise came to be, God's people suffered slavery.
Exodus 1, verses 8 to 11. Then a new king came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become much too numerous for us." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labour.
5 o'clock.
In time, God stopped his people's woe. Moses made Pharaoh let them go.
Exodus 3, verses 10. The Lord said to Moses, "Now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt."
6 o'clock.
For 40 years the tribes did roam until God led them to their home.
Psalm 78, verses 52 to 55. God brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the desert. He drove out the nations before them. He settled the tribes of Israel in their homes.
7 o'clock.
At first they did what Judges said, but soon they asked for kings instead.
Acts 13, verses 20 and 21. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people looked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, who reigned for 40 years.
8 o'clock.
Some kings were bad, some kings were good. King David ruled just as he should.
Acts 13, verses 22. After removing Saul, God made David their king. He testified concerning him, "I have David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do."
9 o'clock.
God had promised more, a king who'd be a true savior.
Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom from that time on and forever.
10 o'clock.
The promise was a ray of light to Jews now crushed down by Roman might.
Luke 2, verses 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went up to his own town to register.
11 o'clock.
At last the hour had almost come. To Mary's womb, God sent his son.
Luke 2, verse 4. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
Dark was the night, the sounds were few, when suddenly God's power burst through. A child was born for me, for you, see our Saviour in the hay.
It's the beginning of a brand new day.
Luke 2, verses 8 to 14. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Christ of God." Thank you.
they continue with their offering. As we come to our prayers for others, they share a prayer request from a minister in Australia. And his request says this: "Can I please ask the church throughout the world to pray for what's happening here in Australia? There is an area the size of Wales which is currently burning in New South Wales. The smoke for most of the last month has been horrendous. Many homes and 8 lives have been lost. The heroic firefighters are exhausted. There is one giant fire, almost 500,000 hectares, which could join up with another over 150,000 hectares. It is apocalyptic. There are many things that could be said, but most of all, we need rain. Can you pray for this tomorrow in your churches, wherever you are, and continue to do so?" And it finishes, hashtag pray for Australia. So as we come together in prayer, let's remember that. And please remember the situation in Australia in your prayers as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray for that situation in Australia. Lord, where firefighters are exhausted, where people are seeing their possessions being burnt up, where some people have lost their lives. So Lord, we pray. We pray that these two fires don't join up. We pray, Lord, that there would be rain. Father, we pray that there be ways to extinguish and control the flames. We pray that there wouldn't be any more loss of life. So, powerful God, we pray. We pray, Lord, that You would be stronger than our disobedience. You would keep us safe from ourselves. Lord Jesus Christ, born a vulnerable child to caring parents, Your majesty is made known in meekness. Your power is revealed in humility. Your glory is clothed in ordinariness. Father, as we pray that You would stir up Your church. And stir up Your power. Lord, as we remember You this morning and think about the whole nativity thing, we look forward to You to coming again to rule and reign over this earth. Father, we pray for those who are struggling this time of year, struggling with health, physical health, mental health. We pray for those who are dealing with those who are ill, whether at home or in hospitals or in care homes. Lord, we ask that You would bless them. Father, we'd ask that Your people would know Your healing. And for those who are coming to struggle, particularly on Christmas Day, for their world is not a world of joy and of sharing, but it's a world of loneliness. We pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would be with them. Father, as we worship You this morning, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for You are always with us. We thank You, Lord, for we're able to share together. And we pray this morning Pray the prayers that are in our hearts and in our minds. We pray for each one here this morning, those on our left or our right, in front of us or behind us, or indeed in another part of this building. We pray for those who can't be here this morning, for whatever reason. And Lord, we ask your Spirit, touch each one. Father, this is a time when light shines in the darkness. The darkness does not overwhelm it. Draw near, God, who is with us, to all those for whom the overwhelming darkness in these days threatens to extinguish any hope, any joy. Be for them and to us a light to guide, to encourage, and to protect. And Lord, we offer this prayer in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Love came down at Christmas. Let's worship together. Continue with the word read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Alexander's going to read for us, and then after a prayer, he'll read a second time.
The birth of Jesus. At that time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own town. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn.
So we'll take a moment in prayer, and we ask the Spirit to lead us. What is it God wants to speak to us in that reading? And then we'll just, after we see it again being played through on the screen, Then sing together Silent Night. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We praise you. We ask that through your Spirit, Lord, you would guide us and lead us. See what it is that jumps out at us in this reading of your word. Amen.
The birth of Jesus. At that time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own town. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was the descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn.
Let's pray. Father, we turn to you and ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue, that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that it will be very, very clear, and this will bring great honour and glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we've got now to the Nativity Sunday. That Sunday we recognise as Nativity Sunday, Advent 4. As we've worked through Advent this year, we started Advent 1, seeking the presence of Jesus as we've met the cast. So we were seeking the real presence of Jesus. We were looking at what that meant in terms the sacrament of the Lord's table and the sharing of the bread and wine. We then had a look at the angels as part of the cast. We see the nativity scene and the work of the angels, the messengers that have been sent by God to share messages, to share God's word with specific people. Then last week we had a look at the shepherds, and the shepherds have been called by the angel and told of the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Messiah, told to go and look for the baby in the manger, for this was the sign, it's a baby in a manger. This was going to be something different And after the angels all appeared and sang and left again, then the shepherds went down into the town to find the Messiah in a manger. And they worshipped him there, and they told Mary and Joseph of the angels and what had happened. And then they went from there, sharing that with other people. So we've got to this point now, meet the cast, and here we are on Advent Sunday. We'll look at Jesus again on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But just to share a bit about two of the people who don't get an awful lot written about them once we get past this stage particularly. But there's Mary and there's Joseph. So Mary is called by an angel and given the news that she is favoured. She's found favour in God's eyes. And so she is going to give birth to the Messiah. And she's told all this. But she is a young girl, a young woman, barely a woman, but she's betrothed to Joseph. Joseph, we think, is a good bit older than Mary. But she's betrothed, and in that betrothal, that engagement, it is a formal relationship. It's a formal relationship where they are known as being together, although they wouldn't have had any sexual relationships at that time. But that relationship is so formal that for it to be broken off, to be separate, they would have to divorce. That was the culture of the time, and that's the situation Mary finds herself in. So she, this young girl, has this angel appearing before her. And as always, as we've said before, the first thing an angel says as it appears to someone is, "Do not be afraid." Mary's not afraid, though. She might be saying, taken aback, but she's actually, Scripture tells us she's not afraid. And the angel delivers the message, and as I said before, her only question about that message is not, it's not something of denial or a refusal or a rebuttal, or even as Sarah did, Abraham and Sarah, when Sarah laughed and told that she would be, she would conceive and have a son. Mary's question was, how can this be? How can this be? And the angel tells her. And after that conversation, her finishing words are, "I am the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled." So not only has God found favour and is looking favourably on Mary, but Mary, even at that point, is just totally following God and what he's planning to do. And she just, in obedience, follows what's going to happen. In obedience, she just accepts that. But that puts her in a difficult position. Because while she knows the conversation with the angel, while she knows the why and the wherefore, and the fact that she'll be carrying the Messiah, she knows all this, but nobody else does. And at that time, not even Joseph knows this. So what would happen for her would be that if she began to show in her pregnancy, people would start speaking. It would be very uncomfortable, to say the least. And she would not be having a nice time in Nazareth. I've often wondered what the conversation would be like between Mary and Joseph as Mary tells Joseph that she's pregnant and that she's pregnant with God's son, Jesus, because she had this vision, this appearance before her of an angel who has told her that God's Holy Spirit will overcome her and make her pregnant. Can you imagine that kind of conversation? And Joseph decides that he's going to divorce her quietly. Matthew's gospel says, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame. So even under the culture where he would have just cause to make a real deal of his betrothed being pregnant, not by him, he doesn't do that. He is a man of honour, a just man. He's unwilling to put her to shame. He's obviously someone who has a belief. And then he has a vision himself, an angel in a dream, confirming everything that Mary has said. And we're not told what Joseph has said at the end of this vision, his dream he's had. I kind of imagine him saying, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Because his actions show that. He looks after her. He takes her to Bethlehem with him, having to go to Bethlehem for the census. He takes her to the house of the town of David, his ancestors, his tribe of the house of David. And actually, when we think about Mary and we read about Zechariah and Elizabeth, we're told that Zechariah is priestly, but Elizabeth is of the tribe of Aaron, the priestly tribe from the 12 tribes. So we get a sense of the families and the birthrights of Mary and Joseph in this. And they travel together to Bethlehem, and there Jesus is born. There's a lot more that happens. Obviously, there's the flight to Egypt, the return to Nazareth. But we don't hear an awful lot more of Joseph after that. The only thing after that is where they have suddenly realized days out that they'd left Jesus behind when he was aged about 12, and they find him in the temple speaking and people being amazed what he's saying. That's about the last we hear of Joseph. But Mary, we hear more of her at various times in Scripture. And she was there at his crucifixion, his death. And so as we think of Mary and Joseph as part of the cast, part of God's plan, part of his plan to redeem the world, we see just the importance their obedience was for that plan. And for me, the thing that we need to start thinking about and looking at and seeing how that fits for each one of us is that obedience. Can we say, I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled? Do we know, can we hear, discern God's voice, God's plan for us, and submit to it, no matter how out of the world it might sound? Jesus was a radical. God was radical. And he shook things up through Jesus. I believe that this time he's shaking things up for us. Are we going to focus, try and discern his voice? Respond to him saying, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Amen. O come, all ye faithful. Let's worship. Christ of the makeshift manger bed, the Christ of the rushed refugee bundled to Egypt for safety, the Christ who summoned fishermen on Galilee's shore to leave all and follow, be present with you in all that you face and call you always to faithful companionship in your journey throughout life. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. And all whom you love, and all whom you struggle to love now, and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our door.